year 2019. In the beginning, I always like beginnings, don't you? In the beginning. It's not talking about baseball there, by the way. In the beginning. In the beginning. It also said that back in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And incidentally, this passage was used in my ordination when I was ordained. The pastor that was the preacher was using this text, and I happened to have the name John as well. But this is the text he used when I was ordained many years ago. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it goes on that says, John bore witness of him, and down to the end of verse number 18. My prayer is that 2019 will be the year when each of us would not just turn a new leaf and not just come up with some of these, we all do these resolutions, and most of them don't last a day or two, but that our resolution for 2019 would be a resolution making Christ at the very center of who we are and what we're about and what we're about to become. But before we do that, we need to know Him. The fact is that Jesus came into this world. That's why we just celebrated Christmas. He came with the express purpose in mind of having a relationship with each and every one of us. That's why he came. He came with the mission in mind of not just presenting himself to us, but coming to love us and to embrace us and to welcome us into his forever kingdom. To me, it sounds very logical that we need to embrace this Jesus. It sounds very logical to me that we ought to know him, not just about him, that we might want to embrace his ways, his truths, his precepts into our lives, and that we give ourselves fully to him with the blessed assurance of knowing that he is who he says he is. There's a lot of things that we don't understand about Jesus. About God. There's a lot of things we don't understand about faith. But faith is embracing the unknown. Faith is allowing ourselves to be clay in the hands of the potter so that he will mold us and that he will shape us and that he will make us into his image and to his design. My prayer is that for 2019, we'll not just get to know him better, but that we will grow more intimate in our relationship with him. I want this to be the year that we make contact with the loving, merciful, all-knowing, all-giving, forgiving, all-power God of the universe. That we're not alone on this planet Earth. That He is here. He is our God. That He's a good God. That He loves us. He wants us to know Him. And He wants us to love Him. And to love Him by showing that love to others around us at all times. He wants us to walk in fellowship with Him. And it's my prayer that this will be the year that we'll make contact with Him in a greater, more powerful, more personal, more dynamic way than we've ever done before. Reaching people with Christ, the gospel of Christ, is definitely what He's called us to do. And if we're to do that, we need to know Him. I want us to talk about this closer relationship with Him, about being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, in knowing Him more fully, in knowing Him more intimately. And I want us to look at these verses, just a few verses here this morning, which are presented to us as an introduction as to who Jesus is. Here we have the Gospel of John. I believe one of the most potent passages of Scripture that's given to us. And what we learn from these verses is that Jesus needs to be at the very center of our spiritual lives. That He needs to be at the center. That being a Christian is not about trying to be good. That being a Christian is not good works. It's not about trying to be nice. It's not voting a certain way or looking a certain way. Being a Christian is about having a personal, one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It begins when we receive Him, when we invite Him into our lives, when we invite Him into our hearts and we ask Him to be the Lord or the boss of our lives, if you will. And we agree to follow Him as closely and as intimately as we can. For us to follow Him, we must know Him. For us to follow Him, we must know His plan, His purposes, His love in our hearts. And I want us to think about that. Verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and even though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. How about that? He came to this world so that the world would know Him. And the world did not recognize Him. And guess what? The world still doesn't recognize Him. The world still doesn't know Him. The world still throws up a pity party or they pitch up a tantrum when His name is mentioned, because for the most part, the name of Jesus Christ in this world is offensive. And people get offended that we would even mention His name. But it says here He came to that which was His own, and His own did not receive Him. We don't want to make that mistake. We want to recognize Jesus for who He is. And the Bible says, yet to all who received Him, to all who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. Isn't it wonderful to be called a child of God today as we enter into the new year? To be called a child of the living God. Greatest honor of all. Three things I want you to take home with you today about this Jesus and who He is and how important it is for us to get to know Him in a new way. Number one, that He is the eternal God. Some people have difficulty wrapping their minds around this idea that Jesus is eternal. How could He live in this world and be in human flesh and be at the center of all creation? How could He do that? How could Jesus, who was born a baby and who lived and was brought up in a carpenter's home, and who lived in Nazareth most of his life, how could he be equated as the creator of the universe? Well, the Bible tells us that. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Jesus we're talking about here. And even though, you know, there are those cult groups that would take that verse and twist it around to make it sound like Jesus was just a human being, this is God we're talking about. This same Jesus who lived in this world, who lived in the flesh, who was both God and man, this same Jesus was the Word of God. He existed in heaven before he came to earth. That's hard to understand. That's hard for the mind to grapple with. We say that God created the heavens and the earth, but the Bible is even more specific than that. The Bible states that Jesus created the heavens and the earth. That this same Jesus that was born as a baby in Bethlehem's manger created the heavens and the earth. Wow. Look what it says. It says it right here. Verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say that through him, he made the universe. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. And in Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes these words in verses 16 and 17 of Colossians chapter 1. It says this, listen to these words. For by him all things were created. This is Jesus we're talking about. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him. And listen, it says, not only were they created by him, but they were created for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Wow. That's just absolutely mind-blowing. Now, there are those who would doubt that. There are those who would be, you know, who would just say, that just can't be true. That does not hold water. But yet, by faith, when God gives us the gift of faith, we believe that this is actually the way it is. That God holds all things together. And he does so in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way it is. A lot of things I don't understand about it, but I believe it to be true. And I believe it to be God's Word. And I believe it to be accurate. You know, if God wanted to, he could probably flush us all down the toilet, figuratively speaking. He could do that. He could zap us out of existence if he wanted to. If God wanted to. But he doesn't. In Christ, everything holds together. All of creation holds together. Everything is what it is because of who he is and because of what he has done. That he is the Word who has become flesh. In him we're created. There are those who would say that Jesus was a good teacher. Yes, he definitely was a good teacher. But he's more than a good teacher. He is the eternal God. He existed before his birth in Bethlehem. He existed before his birth. And he lives even after his death at Calvary. He rose again, remember? He rose again on that third day. And after 40 days, he ascended into heaven. And there he is now with the Father. And on a day we do not know, he's coming back. He's coming back. And he's coming back for you and me if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. So, you know, we believe that God is a Trinity. Another mystery that some of us scratch our heads over. We find it hard to wrap our heads around, our minds around, you know, what is the Trinity? And we refer to the Trinity as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. All three persons are equal, yet separate, yet three are one. Now that seems to go against human logic. That seems to go against, you know, anything that seems to be natural or whatever. But that's the way it is. He is three in one. All three are equal, yet three are separate, yet they're all one. And you know, God wants us to, He doesn't expect us to figure that all out. But it's by faith that we can believe in that, by grace alone. So He is the eternal God. And that is truth. That is God's Word. If you have a problem with that, take it up with God. But it's true. It's given to us right here in the Bible. Second thing, that He is not only the eternal God, but He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Verse 9 says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now what do I mean by light of the world? What do you mean by true light that gives light to every man? I'm saying that Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever lived, and He taught us what it was to walk with God. He teaches us through His Word what it means to walk with Him. You know, if we were to compile all the wisdom of the ages into one volume, the greatest teachers, the greatest teachings throughout history, the teachings of Christ would dominate the contents of that volume. He was simply the greatest teacher. There's never been any like Him. The greatest teacher this world has ever known. His lessons on ethics, on spirituality, on morality have shaped the way the world thinks about these issues. And even non-believers look up to the teachings of Jesus as being credible, as being of value. He is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And that light of the world came in to bring light into darkness. Most importantly, if you're here this morning, He came to bring light into your life. He came and brought light into my life. I'm so thankful that many years ago I came to realize that light and what that light was all about when Jesus shone His light in me and gave me the hope of eternal life. You see, He's the greatest teacher. The Bible teaches us that no one ever spoke this way, the way this man does, this way, the way that Jesus has taught. In Luke chapter 4, it says, they were amazed at His teaching because His message had authority. He's the light of the world. And we have an opportunity to share the light of the world with our community in 2019. We have an opportunity to share His light with those who are downtrodden, with those who are brokenhearted, with those who are destitute, with those who just don't seem to be able to get ahead in life and who need hope and need confidence. Jesus is the final word. He says, anyone who keeps My word will never see death. That's pretty powerful to me. And then the final thing is that He is the source of grace and truth. He's the only source of grace and truth. And as we sang that song, Grace Alone, this morning, it's by His grace alone. There's nothing else. There's nothing, no other thing in all of creation. He is the only source of grace and truth available. And He is the only source of grace and truth that will ever be available as we seek Him. John said in verse 14 of John chapter 1, He says, we have seen His glory. He has revealed His glory to us, understandably, in the person of Jesus, born as a virgin. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full, not just half full, but full, 100% full of grace and truth. And then in verse 17 it says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Many religions preach a message of an angry God. They preach a message of intolerance, a message of impending judgment. And without a doubt, there'll be a judgment someday. And we know the Bible teaches that. There will be the judgment for the righteous, the judgment for the unrighteous. When all of creation will stand before the throne of God and give an account for everything they have done. But we need to remember that we don't face this judgment alone. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, that we stand before the throne of God complete, not because of what we have done, but because of what He has done. He has dressed us in His righteousness. We're under the cover of Christ, who paid the price for our sins. Jesus didn't come to this earth 2,000 years ago just to enlighten us. Jesus did not come to this world 2,000 years ago simply to impress us. He taught us how to live, but he knew that we needed more than just to be taught, that we needed to be saved. We need to be brought from darkness into light and given the hope of eternal life. And His primary purpose in coming to this earth is given to us many times in Scripture, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And let me tell you, my friend, if you're without Christ, you're lost. You're undone. You have no hope in this world. You have no hope in the next. And you need a Savior today. The Lamb of God, behold, John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus said of Himself, the Son of Man has come to save and to seek that which is lost. And most importantly, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the essence of the gospel of the good news. So I want to remind you as we begin a new year that God's calling us to a deeper walk with Him. You know, I get very frustrated with this whole notion that people are just kind of playing religion and giving the appearance of it without any true devotion to Christ. Let's really look at 2019 as being a year when we can be fully devoted followers of Jesus, trusting Him wholly, trusting Him because He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to live in us and to work through us. He wants us to have a one-on-one relationship with the one who created the heavens and the earth. And if you want this to be the year that you really do business with God and make contact with the eternal, get to know Jesus more. And that's why I want to challenge you this morning to do two things as you're considering this whole notion of making changes in your life or whatever, if God is leading you in that direction. I want to encourage you this morning to think about getting into God's Word at a deeper level. And that's why I want to encourage you this morning to commit yourself to read the Gospels through this year. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are lots of reading plans out there. There are lots of opportunities. There are lots of ways you can do it. But I want to encourage you to to take the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in 2019 and get to know Jesus a little more intimately. We're going to be spending some time doing that this year, getting to know Him more as our God, as our Savior, as the lover of our souls, as the one who has given us power over sin and power over destruction. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us peace this year. So read the Gospels. Keep going back to the Gospels. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is our rock. The Word of God is our source. It's our strength. It is our roadmap. It is the way we discover God in a more intimate way, in a more intimate relationship. The second thing I want to encourage you to do in 2019 is not just to read the Gospels. Second thing I want to encourage you to do and challenge you to do is to have a prayer partner in this church. Someone that you can pray with. Someone that you can share with. Someone that will be there for you. Someone that will be a prayer warrior on your behalf. And someone that you can pray for as well. It goes two ways. I know that can mean lots of great blessings. That can mean lots of great opportunities for us. But to get into the Word of God, to read the Word, to study the Word, and to have a prayer partner in 2019. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that as time goes on as well. That's the challenge for you as we begin this new year. It's going to be a great year. And it's going to be a year full of God's blessings. It's going to be a year that I'm excited about and what God wants to do in us and through us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunities you give us to know you and to serve you. And I pray, Father, that we might know you as you are, as your word reveals to us. And Lord, that we would be truly, fully devoted followers of yours in this coming year. We don't know the day nor the hour when your Son will come back, but we pray, Father, that you would make us ready and that we'd be willing servants of yours. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of verses of a hymn of commitment this morning. As we sing it,